Juul Labs feeling the heat once again, this time from the Federal Trade Commission. The FTC has launched an investigation into the marketing practices of the e-cigarette maker.
New U.S. tariffs on Chinese imports hammered forecasts, undercutting shares of Best Buy and Abercrombie & Fitch. CEO Corey Barry said the tariffs affected about 60% of its cost of goods sold, but she aims to lower that to 40% next year. Those two-faced tariffs also apply to select apparel and footwear, and that will have what Abercrombie calls a direct adverse impact of about $6 million this fall season on its merchandise and gross profit.
At Apple's event in Cupertino in September, we're expecting to see new iPhones, new Apple Watches, and other hardware updates. And while investors would be watching for the usual things like how many cameras the iPhone has, whether there are any new sensors on the device, they're also going to be watching for something that's become very important during the trade conflict between the U.S. and China, and that is prices.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's August the 30th, and it's 5:09 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day getting underway. We will hit the numbers from around the globe this morning from the markets as we get going here this morning momentarily. It's Friday, of course, so that means our regulars are on the program today. Paul Nolte will be with us. We'll bring in Paul momentarily. We'll talk about our portfolios and the economy a little bit later in the program. Brian Summers will be here from Skift.com. Brian has some news on how airlines reroute flights around severe weather here in the Midwest. He's been digging into it, and he's found maybe there's a little bit of math involved and computers and humans involved in reshuffling your flights. That's a cool conversation that we'll have with Brian a little bit later, about 5:38 this morning. First, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk on this Friday morning. Futures are pointing toward a positive open on Wall Street. Dow futures are up 175 points this morning, more than a half a percent. More than a half a percent with S&P futures, nearly three-quarters of a percent with NASDAQ futures this morning. As we look around the globe, markets are generally in the green in Asia, with the Nikkei ending the day up nearly a percent, 234 points. In Hong Kong, higher by a fraction, a little bit lower in China. And in Europe this morning, markets also in the green. In Germany, up by a full percent this morning. The DAX up 124 points. In France, up by nearly a percent. And in London, up by nearly a half a percent. And oil is trading at $56.21 a barrel in the U.S., which is down about 50 cents. A couple of stories as we begin this morning. More people could soon be eligible for overtime pay under a new rule being working its way through the Labor Department. According to the Wall Street Journal, the Trump administration is going to raise the threshold that determines who can get overtime. Currently, people making more than $23,660 are not required to be paid overtime. The new proposal would lift that to $36,000. The rule would affect around 1 million workers, so that would be more people ineligible for overtime moving forward. Also this morning, as we watch the tariff wars, September 1st, actually, that would be Sunday, would be the first day that the new tariffs take effect, a 15% tariff set to go into effect on billions of dollars worth of Chinese imports on Sunday, a consensus of the ongoing U.S. trade war. Those goods include clothing, televisions, diapers, coffee, meat, cheese, and textbooks. Consumers might not notice a big jump in price right away, but several big retailers and suppliers say they're planning price hikes. They've also stocked up on some goods in advance of the tariffs, so we might see some discounts coming as well. The larger chains will be better equipped to absorb some of the price increases. Apple is making it easier to get the iPhone and other electronics fixed. The company is going to let a more independent third-party repair shops use the same tools it gives authorized service providers. The program is only available in the United States. Let's begin this morning with Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul's a senior portfolio manager and senior vice president at Kingsview, and he's with us every Friday here on the program. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Welcome to the end of the month.
Yeah, it's about time, right? looking forward to a three-day weekend. I don't know about you.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And the end to a very volatile August. So we've seen the markets all over the place. swinging really in 4% increments from top to bottom, and looks like we're ending on a good note. So from point to point, the S&P is down about a percentage point, a little bit more than a percentage point for August, but it sure didn't feel like that through much of August.
Yeah, it was off as much as 4% through the month. How are the other indices doing for the month?
For the month, you know, the tech stocks have roared back, and they're very sensitive to the trade talk and discussions. International markets are underwater a little bit more than that as the dollar continues to be relatively strong. Small cap has actually suffered more, which is kind of surprising because a lot of people look at small caps as kind of insulated from all of the trade stuff. They don't do as much international trade as the larger U.S. companies do. So that's a little bit of a surprise. So it continues to be a S&P 500 dominated or a large company dominated market, and everything else is a little bit worse off.
Yeah, I know a lot of people watch the Dow, too. The Dow has had these big swings from day to day. Again, we're up this morning. It looks like we'll have a positive day today, at least right now, depending on whether or not there's any tweet on trade or something later this morning. But the Dow has been up and down as well, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they've all moved pretty much in lockstep. And the parts of the market that are a little bit more sensitive, obviously, are swinging a little bit more. So that includes the industrials, transportation-type stocks, and technology. And those have been the key movers. When you look at fixed income bonds, they've had one of their best months ever. As interest rates have fallen, we've got an inverted now yield curve from 3 months all the way out to 30 years. So that's a concern certainly going forward that, you know, that's one of the red flags that we look at as far as a signal that a recession is on its way. When does it get here? It could be anywhere between 6 months and 2 years. So it's not a very good timing tool, but at least it's something to be starting at least to be looking out for.
We have had a lot of conversation this week, too, about interest rates, more calls for the Fed to lower cut rates again, maybe by as much as a full point. If we're seeing things, and you've before we came on the air this morning, were telling me about some data points this week. That look good. Why are we still talking about an interest rate cut?
It is the reaction of everyone to cut interest rates in order to blunt some of the impacts from trade. Trade is having an impact. You listen to a lot of companies talking about what they're seeing from sales. We heard from a ton of retailers the last 2 weeks, and all of them cited trade as issues for costs, part of the reason why some companies did not make earnings. And so there is a slowing in the U.S. economy. And so the immediate reaction is if the economy is slowing, and we saw GDP numbers get revised down a little bit, the reaction is we have to cut interest rates. Unfortunately, interest rate cuts are not going to solve trade. So that has to happen first before we get any impact from interest rates. Because interest rates are lower doesn't mean I build a new plant and equipment and do things if the demand is not there right now.
We also have, talking about consumers, I mentioned all of these tariffs that go up on Sunday. A couple of the products, let's see, what was a couple of the products? I want to make sure I tell everybody the right ones. So clothing, televisions, diapers, coffee, meat, cheese, textbooks. Consumers have really been the winners and the drivers of the economy. They've been doing really well in terms of buying. If some of these prices start going up, and we've seen Best Buy, Walmart, Target, Abercrombie and Fitch say in the last week that they're going to raise prices on all of this stuff.
Right.
That could impact us going forward.
Absolutely, and it's one of the reasons why there was some discussion that they would postpone those tariffs because of the Christmas season and maybe impose those after the first of the year. It's going to take a little while for it to filter through, but absolutely, the consumer is going to feel it. We've seen prices come up on a variety of goods, especially those related to steel, aluminum that were done a year ago, and we're going to continue to see that filtered through. It's not a no-cost proposition. So when we raise tariffs, the companies that are importing, so the Costco's, the Walmart's, the Best Buy's, whatever they're importing, they're paying that tax, they're paying the tariff. And ultimately, it's going to get passed on either to the consumer in higher prices, to the shareholders in the fact of lower stock prices, as we saw with some of the companies that maybe not be able to raise prices. And so they're seeing lower sales. So there are some costs to that. And that's what we're starting to see here in the economy.
What happens, and we kind of saw this a little last week, this past week, when a company like Apple, who is going to eat a lot of the prices, because you've got the earbuds that are immediately going to be tariffed, you've got other phone parts. When Apple stock drops, the Dow, the NASDAQ drops, right?
Oh, it does, because it is a big component. You know, it's kind of different in the Dow. Apple is the second largest company in the S&P 500 by weight. So it's roughly a 3% weight. So a move there in Apple impacts the S&P 500. It's a much higher weight in the NASDAQ and higher still in the Dow. The Dow is price weighted. So the stocks that sell for the highest price per share, Goldman Sachs, et cetera, they have the biggest impact on the Dow. So Boeing is selling for $350 a share. So I think that's one of the largest right now in the Dow.
Yeah, definitely see when Boeing goes down, the Dow just immediately drops. Sometimes it can wipe 120 points off the Dow
right.
when that happens.
Right.
Paul, hang on with us. We're going to continue our conversation. When we come back, I want to ask you, well, how do we position ourselves for an extended trade war, if that's what we're going to see happen, what we should do with our portfolios, and we'll do that when we come back here in the opening bell. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, a couple of stocks of local interest here as we look at our Midwest list, some Chicago area companies as well on the list. We'll look at AbbVie, which was up nearly 0.25% at $66.22 a share. And a CBOE up nearly 0.25% at $118.94. This is the opening bell on 720 WGN.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Can the markets make it 3 days in a row? Stocks soared on Thursday with another round of trade talks between the U.S. and China set for September. Another sign that the economy may be slowing down. The Commerce Department says the GDP, the gross domestic product, the country's broadest measure of economic health, grew at a moderate 2% from April to June, down from 3.1% in the first quarter. President Trump pledged to boost GDP growth to annual rates of 3% or better in hopes that a surging economy is going to provide the backdrop for his 2020 re-election campaign. Amazon says it's received a letter from three U.S. senators questioning the safety of products the online retailer sells. Democrats Bob Menendez of New Jersey, Connecticut's Richard Blumenthal, and Ed Markey of Massachusetts say they're following up on a Wall Street Journal investigation that found thousands of items on the website that were mislabeled, declared unsafe, or banned by regulators. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. We're back this morning with Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul, I know we've asked this of you before, but I saw a really cool article this week where it had like a group of yous in an interview. A lot of different portfolio managers, they were all asked the same question. So how do we position ourselves? And what kinds of things should we be looking if we want to perhaps buy some things?
Right. You know, and it's as we talked about earlier in the first segment, the parts of the market that are getting impacted the most by trade, depending on whether we're in conversations to have a talk or whether we're imposing more tariffs and everybody's going to their corner. Technology is certainly there. Apple has been the kind of the poster child. If trade talks are going well or we're having them, Apple goes up a lot. If we're having issues with trade and we're imposing more tariffs and things are looking bad, Apple goes down a bunch. And that's been pervasive with the technology sector. Technology as a whole is still very inexpensive relative to their historical earnings and valuation ranges. So that's one of the sectors, I think, that given the very volatile nature of that sector, remains a very good one from the long term. That's where a lot of the growth is when you look at the market as a whole. So technology needs to be a part of the portfolio. Other parts that look inexpensive to us, healthcare and some of the industrial stocks, you know, a company like a UPS or a FedEx that is delivering all the goods to everybody's front door. They've been under pressure as some of their businesses have slowed. Some of the pricing has gone up. Amazon is coming out and talking about, you know, doing their own delivery. So it's had a negative impact, but then when you look at the earnings of those companies, underlying earnings are still very, very solid. So it is a company by company, in our view, But again, if you want to look at the sectors, the two that we highlight really are healthcare and technology at this point.
Should we be concerned that yesterday Apple CEO Tim Cook sold 265,000 shares of Apple?
Considering how much he still owns,
probably not.
Nah, I wouldn't worry about it too terribly much. When you look at the CEOs, they get so much in stock grants each year and stock options each year. From a pure financial planning perspective, it makes sense for them to divest a little bit of the company stock. And so a lot of them, you'll see that occur regularly. They have a regular program where they go about doing that every September, every whatever it is. They'll sell some of the shares of the stock just to diversify their holdings. So I don't read too much into that.
I mean, is he doing what you've suggested we do every once in a while, and that's take a little cash off the table?
Absolutely. Yeah, and put it in some other places.
Right.
Absolutely. So that's not unusual. It's when you see that activity where they're actually going in and buying stock in addition to the options that they get, or they divest a significant portion at one time, that raises a flag.
So if we're looking for companies that don't really have a lot of exposure on the trade situation, what would be some good buys? Where would you look today?
You know, if you're looking at companies that don't have a lot of trade exposure, and we kind of highlighted again in the earlier part of the segment, was small cap. And the smaller the stock, the less they are exposed. But what's interesting is those companies have actually done relatively poorly from a performance perspective relative to the S&P 500. Some of it has to do with their ability to raise money. They're not as accessible to the financial markets, to where they can go out and sell bonds, et cetera, and raise funds. So the low interest rate environment hasn't necessarily helped a lot of those companies. So their liquidity, they have some liquidity issues, and part of the reason why the stocks haven't done as well. But if you're looking to avoid, that would be an area. And given their underperformance for much of this year relative to large cap, they're at one of their cheaper parts of their historical ranges. So if you're patient, and patient being a couple years, that might not be a bad area to start fishing in.
It's Monday is Labor Day. I want to just briefly talk about labor. There was a report this week that, again, the number of people in labor unions is declining significantly. We all know that labor unions should get the credit for helping build the middle class in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
If the fewer people are in labor unions, what does that mean for the economy? Is it bad news?
That's been something that's been going on for decades, since I think the peak in labor union membership was in the late 50s, early 60s, and it's been on the decline ever since. You have a lot of right-to-work states and a lot of other laws and guidelines that have gone into place that have worked against labor unions, and in some cases made it easier for companies to hire lower wages. I don't know you're going to be able to reverse that trend, and it doesn't sound as though there's much in the way of the current administration or even a lot of the discussions that we're hearing from a lot of the Democratic candidates that are going to change that. They're talking about raising minimum wage, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we're going to be able to increase union membership because of that. So I think that's going to be a trend for a while. I'm not sure what's going to reverse that, but I think that's something that we're going to be seeing going forward.
It certainly feels like if it is going to be reversed, it's going to take just as long to reverse it.
It will. Yeah. It will. Absolutely.
All right. Paul, big plans for the weekend?
We're going to be relaxing and enjoying a little bit of music along the lakefront doing the Jazz Fest. So it's going to be a nice weekend to be out and about, and that is certainly one of the beautiful areas to be watching and listening to music.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We'll have a good weekend. How can people get a hold of you if they want to have a one-on-one?
They want to drop me an email is probably the easiest at pnolte@kingsviewam.com, and we can continue the conversation there.
All right. Have a great weekend, Paul.
You too. Thank you.
And Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago, where he's an SVP and Senior Portfolio Manager. This is The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Katherine Davis from Chicago Inno with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know. Groove Health, a Chicago startup that helps patients take their medications regularly through an AI-powered mobile app, has partnered with CNA Insurance to provide the insurance company's policyholders with its digital medication adherence platform. The partnership gives CNA customers easy-to-use medication management technology and personalized adherence interventions. PerkSpot, a Chicago-based startup that makes an HR tech platform, recently expanded its River North office as it gears up to nearly double its staff in the coming months. And GoHealth, the online health insurance marketplace, was sold for $1.5 billion to Centerbridge, making it the biggest Chicago tech exit in the last 5 years, based on data from PitchBook. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at chicagoinno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. It's Friday here in The Opening Bell. Time to bring in Brian Summers from Skift.com. Brian is Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift. He is with us via Skype from Los Angeles this morning. A couple of stories in the news this week. One of them involves Spirit Airlines perhaps changing some seating arrangements. And Brian, let's begin first with the storms, severe storms in the summer that often impact us here in the Midwest when we fly. You've been looking into this, and apparently there's a little bit of method to the madness when it.
Well, Steve, I wrote a fun story about this topic earlier this week. You know, I take my travel very seriously, and I've always wondered, you know, when a thunderstorm rolls into Chicago some weekday afternoon, American and United have to decide what flights they're going to send on time, what flights they're going to delay by an hour or two, and what flights they're going to cancel. There is some reason to how they do this, and this is what I figured out this week. There are a lot of things that airlines like American and United are looking at, but if people are wondering, yes, these airlines do prioritize their most important and most profitable flights. So if you do have a thunderstorm rolling through Chicago, air traffic control can accept fewer flights. Your big flights, your big airplanes flying to New York, flying to Dallas-Fort Worth, flying to Los Angeles, flying to San Francisco are probably going to go on time or close to it because those are important flights for the airline. If you're flying American Eagle to Champaign, Illinois, American might tell you to get in the car and drive. I think people probably understand this, but maybe they didn't realize it in quite so much detail. American actually told me in the interview, they said, we know who's on the airplane. We know how much money that airplane makes us. We know who's sitting in first class. We know whether they got upgraded or not. And of course, we're going to take better care of the flights where our best customers are sitting. So that's sort of interesting. One thing that listeners may know that I live in Los Angeles and I go to New York a lot, and I will often book a big airplane, a wide body, a Boeing 787 for myself because this is going to be an important flight for United Airlines, right? It's their most expensive asset. And even if there's bad weather in New York, I do find that United may prioritize this particular airplane flying to New York, the Boeing 787, and I tend to get there on time. This is kind of the interesting machinations of super travelers like myself, but it does tend to work.
So, Brian, this is really I know in your story they said this is really kind of a calculus math equation that goes on every day. I'm guessing it's sort of a mix of computers and humans that are figuring this out, right?
It absolutely is. I talked to executives from American and Southwest, and they both said the same thing. It's like it's an art and a science. They use a lot of math to decide it. I mean, at the end of the day, I talked about earlier how airlines don't want to displace their best customers. That's true. But most of these airlines are looking to delay or cancel flights that affect the fewest possible customers. So they're trying to help as many people get to their destination on time as possible. But we know how many times thunderstorms roll into Chicago. That's hard to do, especially during the summer.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations where if you're watching the weather on Monday and Tuesday and you're flying on Wednesday and you see severe weather scheduled for Wednesday, it might almost behoove you to make travel change your plans.
Well, it is always good to change your travel plans in advance, although there is one interesting thing that American told me. They said, you know, we can plan in advance for a snowstorm. When there's a weather forecast in Chicago that says snow is coming in 3 days, it usually comes, maybe not always, but most of the time, the storm hits as American expects. But because thunderstorms are so fleeting, you might have a weather forecast that says thunderstorms are going to come, and they may not, or they may not come when you thought. So it's very difficult for these airlines to predict the effects of thunderstorms, and that just makes the summer so tough for American and United in Chicago.
And I bet hurricanes are a whole different story. Here's where we're talking this morning. The hurricane is on its way to the United States. That's a whole different situation, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, airlines say that hurricanes are actually more like snowstorms in effect. They know they're going to hit. There's pretty good forecasting. Maybe they're not going to be as bad as an airline thought. But because hurricanes are so dangerous, one of the things that airlines will do is they'll cancel flights in advance, and then they will also move their airplanes out of harm's way. So it's easier to tell what an airline is going to do in advance with a hurricane than with a thunderstorm. No airline wants to take the chance that, you know, they're going to have 25 airplanes damaged in Miami if a hurricane is coming. So they just take those airplanes out as best as they can.
The next story is pretty cool. Spirit Airlines, I guess, trying to improve its reputation a little bit, offering comfier seats. What's going on?
Yeah, we've talked about this a little bit before, but Spirit over the last 3 years has been on a brand building mission. They're still an ultra low cost carrier. They still charge for just about everything, including onboard drinks and overhead bin space. But they want to be a kindler and gentler airline. And anybody who's flown Spirit knows that their seats are just horrifically uncomfortable. It's like they're doing it on purpose. There's no padding whatsoever. It's like this hard bench. You don't get a full-size tray table. You just get like a teeny-weeny half-size tray table. It's just kind of ridiculous. So earlier this week, I interviewed the new CEO. He took over in January, and he said they're getting some new airplanes soon. And guess what? They're going to add a full-size tray table, which is a big deal for them, not for most airlines, and they're going to add a little bit more padding to the seat. So he thinks that people are going to be very excited when they step on these new aircraft, and they're going to say, boy, this isn't as uncomfortable as possible. He did say that, at least for now, they're not going to go back and retrofit older airplanes. So you're only going to be a little bit more comfortable if you're on one of their newer jets. But at least this is progress, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. The big question is, you know, for Spirit, which charges for just about everything, is this going to be free, or are we going to pay for this somehow?
I think, Steve, it'll be free. And the reason it'll be free is because it's going to be every seat on the airplane. So it's not like they're going to only add, you know, 25 more seats with extra padding, and they're going to charge extra for it. Frontier Airlines, which is a big competitor to Spirit, actually does have some seats on its airplane that have both extra legroom and extra padding. So with them, if you want extra padding, you have to pay. But on these new Spirit jets, it should all be included, because every seat on the airplane is going to have the padding. But don't get too excited, Steve. There still won't be in-seat power, and there still won't be TV screens in the seats. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
So, Brian, I know your story talks a little bit more about the other challenges that Spirit's facing. One of them is getting Wi-Fi to passengers. The other is just an increase in operational costs across the board.
Yeah, Steve. Yeah, you're right. Spirit has decided to add Wi-Fi to its airplanes. This is actually a really big deal. We think that they're going to be one of the only ultra-low-cost carriers in the world to have it. Usually you have no amenities whatsoever on an airline like this. I don't know exactly what happened, but Spirit CEO told me that project has been very delayed. They're having some problems with the antenna on the airplane, and they are going to get it done, and they're going to get it done within the next 2 or 3 years or so. But this was supposed to happen essentially by now. So no Wi-Fi on Spirit for their foreseeable future. I'm not sure that people necessarily book Spirit for the Wi-Fi, but it would be a nice value add once you're on board. And, you know, nothing on an ultra low cost carrier is free, so you would have to pay for it no matter what.
Every once in a while when I'm traveling, I'll see a Sun Country Airlines jet on the runway. It's one of the other discount carriers in the U.S. They're headed for an IPO.
That's what the CEO told me this week, Steve. Sun Country is a small Minneapolis-based airline. It has only 30 airplanes right now. Their big growth plan has them to go to 33 by early next year. So this is a not a big airline. But they are owned by a private equity firm. The private equity firm bought them late in 2017, and they're thinking IPO as soon as April of next year. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, the CEO of the airline said, this is what we want to do. We're going to be prepared for it. But of course, if market conditions don't warrant it, we'll pull back our plans. Sun Country is an interesting airline. It is a low-cost airline. It's an all-coach configuration. But they have really good brand loyalty in Minneapolis. I know people from Chicago like to leave town in the winter when it gets cold. But the Sun Country people tell me that in Minneapolis, it is essentially your birthright between Thanksgiving and Easter to get out, to go somewhere warm, to go to Mexico, to go to the Caribbean and things like that. Most U.S. airlines and most European airlines, for them, the first quarter of the year is absolutely the worst. It's when they make the least money. A lot of them lose money. For Sun Country, the first quarter of the year is by far their best. And that's all people from Minnesota going to warm weather destinations and getting out of the cold. It's fascinating.
So an investment opportunity perhaps on the horizon.
Yes. Although one thing Sun Country has got to do is the other three quarters of the year, it's got to figure out how to make some money. Because the corollary to this Minnesota thing, which is actually kind of funny also, is that no one goes anywhere in the summer. That's obviously an overstatement, but the CEO basically said that. He said, you know, the weather in Minnesota in the summer is too good. It's the only nice time of year. Nobody wants to go anywhere, and we have to find somewhere to put our airplanes that isn't Minnesota in the summer so we can make money.
All right, Brian, good conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening gains later on Wall Street as The Opening Bell will ring at 8:30 Chicago time. Dow futures up 171 points this morning, nearly 0.5%. S&P and NASDAQ futures are up more than 0.5% this morning. Let's bring in Orion Samuelson for our regular Friday talk this morning. Orion, good morning. We're all amazed by the sunrise that's happening right now. Lots of oranges and purples on the water. Hopefully you're getting to see a nice sunrise too.
I haven't looked out the window yet, but I will, yes, because I'm not aware of it. But tell you what, 3 days at the Farm Progress Show, Steve, and good weather for the 3 days. As a matter of fact, probably the most comfortable weather from the standpoint of temperature and humidity. And it didn't rain. It rained on Monday before the show opened, and it slowed down the people who were putting all of their exhibits together. But I'd say it was a great show. I've been attending this show since 1961, and we've gone all through all kinds of weather, but this year it was good weather. And some interesting guests. Of course, we had Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue join us, several state directors of agriculture that reviewed crop prospects in their states. And yesterday we had a gentleman from Cuba at the show. The Illinois-Cuba Working Group welcomed Rodney Gonzalez, the commercial attaché for the Cuban Embassy in Washington, to the Farm Progress Show. The purpose? To meet with leaders in agriculture, including farmers, to explore opportunities between Illinois and Cuba. And so he spent the day at the show yesterday. Also, just a couple of announcements on some funding that was announced at the show. ADM announced yesterday a $2.5 million gift to the University of Illinois to assist with funding construction of the Feed Technology Center. And that's a key asset that will advance educational and research opportunities within the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, ACES, as we call it, at the University of Illinois. And also, Compeer, that's one of the financial lenders to agriculture, yesterday made the announcement that it was donating money to the Illinois Agriculture in the Classroom program. Pretty good gift that they also announced at the Farm Progress Show. So visited with a lot of listeners to our morning show with you, Steve, and always fun to go back and, well, see and talk to people that maybe we see just once a year at the Farm Progress Show.
I'm curious if you got the ear of Sonny Perdue for a little bit. I know farmers have lots of questions about things going on. What kinds of questions did he get? What kind of answers did he give?
Well, Max and I did the questioning, so because he was on stage with us, and as I mentioned yesterday, first time ever for me that an interview with the Secretary of Agriculture or anybody else has been interrupted by a phone call from the president. But the president did call, and he did visit on the speaker system with us, with Sonny Perdue, just to talk about some things that he's working on with the ethanol issue that has upset corn farmers so very much. And that was an interesting thing to happen because, as I said, I've never had an interview interrupted by the President of the United States.
Yeah, that's a good brag to have. So the idea is that some good policy is coming on this topic?
He said that he's going to take care of the thing that has upset corn farmers, and that, of course, is the exemption for small oil refiners that they have been fairly generous with in assigning those exemptions, and he said he's going to come up with a package to get that solved.
All right. Orion, we appreciate it. Have a great Labor Day weekend.
Thank you, and you do the same. Be careful out there. There's farm equipment on the highway, so be careful.
All right, very good. Thanks, Orion. Orion Samuelson, make sure you listen to the morning show as well tomorrow at 5 right here on 720 WGN. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Friday, August the 30th. Personal income and spending figures for July are out today. Analysts expect to see income gaining 0.3% last month, with spending rising 0.4%. We'll see those numbers at mid-morning. Also today on the calendar, we'll also see Chicago PMI. Consumer sentiment figures are out as well. Just a few things that could move the markets on this Friday, August the 30th. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on 720 WGN. And we'll be back bright and early on Tuesday morning after a holiday on Monday. I'm Steve Krasanich. Have a great weekend.